Religious liberty is an issue I think that we as Christians need to get out in front of.
Mark Hemingway talking about his joint presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Whether it's willful or simple ignorance, the media have badly misrepresented this issue. It is also vital that all Americans understand just how foundational religious liberty and freedom of conscience are to the preservation of all American freedoms. And this is something that even those Americans who aren't religious should understand and agree with. I also happen to believe that we as Lutherans, with our understanding of Two Kingdoms theology, are in an excellent position to be the explainers and ambassadors of this issue.
You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway making the case for religious liberty at the Fall Making the Case Conference Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. Child care is free. Find out more and register at IssuesETC.org or call 618-223-8385.
Trump says you must be able to speak language English, qualified, and have a job skill. Jesus would not qualify to come in Trump's country, and he would not qualify to get in Jesus' kingdom.
Wherever you have polytheism, you have cultures, you have this fractured understanding of God where he's splintered up into all these different beings, you always have a lowering of ethical and moral standards as well.
I can come to the scriptures with humility, knowing that I can err, but I ought to have the confidence that the truth of God's word can be known there and that I can in fact know it.
Stay-at-home moms, antiquarian enthusiasts, some sensual Cali, loves, issues, etc. Can you see the fish?
Yes, I can see the fish. It's right there.
Well, I suppose if you are convinced that God or the fates or karma or the universe is just itching for an opportunity to release some kind of judgment or karmic payback on Texas or Trump voters or America in general or, well, any group within America, whether they be doing good or evil. If you're convinced of that, two hurricanes in a matter of weeks, one hitting Houston and the other one working its way through Florida, is as good as any opportunity to set forth your opinion about what God or the fates or the universe or karmic retribution is doing through Irma or Harvey. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about natural disasters and God's judgment with Pastor Paul Schluter here in the first few minutes of this hour. A little bit later, Dr. Ross Johnson will join us to seriously discuss Hurricane Irma and Harvey relief efforts, and then we'll continue our four-part series. We'll continue our series on the Lord's Prayer with part four of the Lord's Prayer, Thy Will Be Done. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us for that. Joining us to talk about natural disasters and God's judgment, Pastor Paul Schluter. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Milford Center, Ohio, and he's authored a recent column for The Federalist titled, No, Hurricane Harvey Was Not God's Judgment on Texas. Paul, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks very much.
Why can we be absolutely certain, our listeners can be absolutely certain, that if they hear anyone make a pronouncement like Irma and Harvey are God's judgment on America or Texas or Florida for whatever, fill in the blank, why can we be certain that such pronouncements are wrong?
Well, I think we're on a dangerous territory when we're absolutely certain about something that God hasn't revealed to us in the Bible. There are certainly, that we can be, God has granted to us the ability to know certainty about things that are below us, but not certainty about things that are above us. And we start, the trouble is when we start trying to peer into the heavens and determine God's hidden will, and then say that X event happened for, you know, Y reason. That's something that God just hasn't given us to know.
On the other hand, you have written recently that there are things that we can know about God's will with absolute certainty. How is that?
Well, because God has revealed those things to us in the Bible. And those things fall into two categories. They are the things that pertain to God's law, God's expectation of us. Best place to look there is the Ten Commandments. That's it's all laid out for us real nice. The second place to look is into the gospel, where we see that God's will is that we not perish, but that we receive eternal life through repentance and faith. So that is God's will, and that is absolutely certain because God has told us that it's certain.
Why do you think it is that we are prone to either, as some do, come out and say, well, God's doing this because, when it comes to a natural disaster, or at least to entertain the idea privately in our minds?
Well, I suppose there can be a lot of different reasons. I guess what I was kind of getting at when I wrote the article is that sometimes when people point to something that has happened, you know, like the hurricanes give us a good example, Hurricane Harvey, people will say that this happened because God was angry at a certain group of people, and then when we can, typically the people who are the ones that God is angry at are the ones who are our enemies, the ones who disagree with us. So that just becomes a convenient way of saying, well, you know, see, this happens to you because you were doing something that I don't like. Therefore, God is against you, and then we're using God as, I don't know, I guess to confirm our own opinions.
Give us some examples of kind of people who tend to do this. They usually have access to television or cable stations as well.
Well, today is September 11th, and if you remember, back after the terrorist attacks occurred on September the 11th, there were some of the conservative Christian televangelist types who were saying that the reason why the attacks occurred was because of the sinfulness of the people in New York City. So that's one example. Pat Robertson said that Hurricane Katrina was God's punishment on America because of the sin of abortion. John Hagee said that it was God's judgment against New Orleans because there was going to be a gay pride event. So those are a couple of examples. More recently, people on the other side of the political spectrum were commenting that it was either the karma was to blame because of the people who voted for Trump in Texas. Charlie Hebdo, the French magazine, made a similar claim with a cartoon that appeared on the cover of their magazine.
You cite an Old Testament incident where the angel of the Lord appears to the Old Testament prophet Joshua, Moses' successor, while the children of Israel have just entered the promised land and they are in the initial stages of the conquest of that land that had been promised to Abraham's descendants. Tell us that story, and why does it bear remembering here?
Well, the Israelites were getting ready to march around the city of Jericho. And I can imagine that if I were Joshua getting ready to embark upon a pretty significant conquest, I would be pretty nervous about what was going to happen the next day. Joshua encountered the angel of the Lord, and not knowing for certain who it was, said to him, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" And the angel of the Lord responded, and this is pretty telling, and instead of saying, "We're on your side," or "We're on the side, I'm on the side of your enemies," the angel of the Lord responded pretty definitively, "No, you know, I'm not on one side or the other." He said, "Oh, I am the commander of the army of the Lord." So God is, I guess, to kind of extrapolate from that and to apply that to our current discussion, you know, God isn't fighting on the side of the political left or the political right or liberals or conservatives or any way that we kind of would want to divide ourselves into one group or another. God has his own agenda. God has his own will. God has his own list of things that he is interested to accomplish, regardless of and in spite of the things that we tend to think are important and the things that we are fighting to establish in the world at any given time.
So what should the church be saying in times of natural disaster like this, leaving aside these pronouncements, either certain or speculative, as to what God is judging and who God is judging by permitting them to happen?
Well, I think the church should say what the church always says. And the church should say that message that Jesus proclaimed when he began his ministry. He said, repent and believe the gospel. That's the same message that repent. Well, I guess in the gospel, Jesus says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The New Testament church picks that up. Peter, when he's preaching in Jerusalem, says, repent and believe the gospel. It's the same message. And these instances give us opportunity to remind people that repentance is necessary because the wrath of God is real and the wrath of God is coming. As bad as hurricanes or natural disasters or whatever could be, or terrorist attacks, God's wrath is the thing ultimately that we should fear. But God has given to us the solution for his wrath, namely the death and resurrection of his Son. He's given to us the gospel. And so as we repent, we turn to Christ, we turn to the cross, and our sins are forgiven. And that's a beautiful and glorious thing.
So, in other words, the church continues, albeit in the context and in understanding the context of these natural disasters and the suffering that they bring to our fellow citizens and to our neighbors, the church continues to do what it's always been doing.
Exactly. Exactly. And disasters, horrible events, give to us an opportunity as believers in Christ to reach out to those who are suffering with love and to point them, well, to care for their needs, to understand what their needs are, but ultimately to point them to Christ and to the cross.
Let's clarify something here, if we could, Pastor Schluter, and that is someone might at this point in the conversation say, well, isn't the abortion industry a terrible thing? Isn't gay pride festivals and things, aren't they displeasing to God, that entire lifestyle and the panoply of other things that go along with it? How do you sort out that issue, that these things are truly sinful and that there is a judgment from God that is threatened and promised for such things, but it just doesn't happen to be Harvey or Irma?
Right, and that goes back to the things that we can say with certainty and the things we can't say with certainty. We know that there is judgment for sin, but we can't say that any one event is a specific judgment for a specific sin. The example that I gave in the article is an incident that occurred during the life of Jesus, wherein he was asked by some people about an act of violence that occurred while some people were sacrificing at the temple, and their blood was mixed together with their sacrifices. And they were wanting to know if those people were killed for some specific sin. And Jesus said no. Rather, he said, you know, the point that he left them with was that, you know, you need to repent. Yeah, we can't point to any one incident and connect it to a specific sin unless God has given to us direct revelation to say that we can. We can say that those things are sinful and that there's judgment that is coming for those things, but we can't look into that secret hidden mind of God and know things that we haven't been given to know.
Finally, then, talk about the church's not only their responsibility, but their privilege to act upon those things that we do know where God's will is absolutely clear and certain when it comes to helping our neighbors who have been affected directly or indirectly by things like Irma and Harvey.
Yeah, and there we do what Jesus did. You know, we look at Jesus's action, his acts of mercy that he performed throughout the Gospels, wherein he saw people who were hungry and he fed them. He saw people who were sick and he healed them. He saw people who had genuine physical human needs and he reached out to them to provide for those needs. And so, you know, that's what we do as Christians. We see needs, we respond to those needs. We understand that every human need comes about in a world that is disordered because of sin, and everything's kind of just made a mess. But where we have the means to solve those problems, we do. And we have the Word of God that puts things back into order. And that gives us an opportunity. You know, it gives us a great opportunity to show the love of Christ and to share the message of hope and salvation from God's good word.
Pastor Paul Schluter is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Milford Center, Ohio. He's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, "No, Hurricane Harvey Was Not God's Judgment on Texas." You can read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Schluter, thank you very much.
Thank you. Blessings to you and your listeners.
Speaking of the mercy and the opportunity for mercy that we have to show, we're going to be talking on the other side of the break with Dr. Ross Johnson about Hurricane Irma and Harvey relief efforts. He's Director of Disaster Response for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Stay tuned. Is being a member of a church just about tithing and having your name on the roster? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Connected to Christ costs $5.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Connected to Christ, 1-800-325-3040.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christ Lutheran is a welcoming congregation in Rochester, Minnesota, providing traditional liturgy and hymns, word and sacraments. Call 507-289-0271. That's 507-289-0271. Or visit christrochester.org. Christ Lutheran Church, receiving and sharing Christ's mercy.
The Law Assumed Sermon, the Gospel Afterthought Sermon, the God Loves You Anyway Sermon. I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.